From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Indonesia's economic growth in 2020, which contracted by 2.07% year-on-year, was above the global average. This was said by Kunta Wibawa Dasanugraha, expert staff in charge of state expenditure affairs of the Ministry of Finance, in the webinar on the acceleration of social economy on Sunday. The peak of Indonesia's economic depression was -5.32% that occurred in the second quarter of 2020. According to Kunta Wibawa, it was because the government stimulus had not been optimally accelerated. The Indonesian economy started to improve in the third quarter at -3.49% and -2.19% in the fourth quarter, thanks to the government stimulus benefiting the public in particular. The various stimuli provided by the government were the driving force for the Indonesian economy. Thus, overall, in 2020, its economy managed to grow at -2.07%. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono stated that the government is ready to accelerate infrastructure development to support the Batang Integrated Industrial Estates in Central Java, while reviewing the development of KIT or Batang infrastructure in Batang Regency. He said on Sunday that from a total land area of 3,100 hectares, his side would prioritize the first phase of 450 hectares in order to accelerate investment this year. Some of the supports to accelerate development at KIT Batang include building roads and providing electricity networks so that investors just need to build their factories. He added that currently there are four large investors who have entered KIT Batang in the third quarter, so that it is targeted that in 2021, infrastructure development will be completed on time. Mount Rawung, located on the borders of Banyuwangi, Jember, and Bondowoso district, East Java province, erupted and emitted volcanic ash that smothered several villages in Banyuwangi on Sunday. Many residents of the affected villages suffered minor eye irritation while outdoors, but they were urged to remain calm. Eka Muharam, head of the Emergency and Logistic Division of the Banyuwangi Disaster Mitigation Office, BBBD, said on Sunday, based on information obtained in coordination with the Raung Volcano Security Post officers, the ash rain is still considered safe. He urged local residents to wear eyeglasses and face masks when they are outdoors. Let's move on to the international news. The first 600,000 doses of coronavirus vaccine donated by China to Cambodia arrived in Phnom Penh on Sunday by special plane, with the doses earmarked to vaccinate health workers and the military. Cambodia is one of the least impacted by the coronavirus, with just 474 infections and no death, but it saw a rare cluster of cases in November. France reported a fall in a new COVID-19 infection on Sunday for the fourth successive day. Health Ministry data showed there had been 19,175 new confirmed COVID-19 infections in the past 24 hours, compared with 20,586 the previous day. But the data also showed the number of patients being treated in hospital for the disease had risen to 27,694 from 27,369 the previous day, following a four-day decline. The number of COVID-19 patients in intensive care also rose, increasing to 3,272 from 3,225 the day before. A woman has contracted Ebola and died in a new case of the virus detected in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo near the city of Butembo. The woman was found with symptoms of the virus in the town of Biena on February 1st and died in hospital in Butembo on February 3rd. More than 70 people who came into contact with the dead woman have been tracked, and the places she visited are being disinfected. Samples have been sent to Kinshasa to confirm the link to the previous outbreak. China reported no new locally transmitted mainland COVID-19 case for the first time in nearly 2 months, official data showed on Monday, adding to signs that it has managed to stamp out the latest wave of the disease. The total number of COVID-19 cases on February 7th rose slightly to 14 from 12 a day earlier, but all were imported infection from overseas. 7 of the cases were in Shanghai, the rest in the southeastern Guangdong province. This marked the first time China has had zero local infections since December 16. That was the news. The COVID-19 transmission rate in Indonesia has yet to show signs of slowing down. Daily positive cases of the COVID-19 pandemic confirm that the recent figures still show about 10,000 people. Large-scale social restrictions that were enforced in several areas and the public activity restriction, which are currently still in effect, seem unable to curb the spread of the COVID-19. To make it effective, the government will impose micro-scale restrictions starting on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo, when meeting governors of Jakarta, West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, and Bali last Wednesday, emphasized two things that were still lacking during the public activity restriction. First, it's the implementation of health protocols in the community. namely the lack of discipline in wearing masks, maintaining distance, and avoiding crowds. And the second point is the testing, tracing, and treatment efforts by the government. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the contact tracing process must be carried out for at least 30 people who are suspected of having close contact with the COVID-19 patient. Thereby, he has instructed to limit community activities at the micro level, namely at the village and neighborhood community levels. This micro-based approach will involve the COVID-19 task force from the central to the smallest level. To ensure community discipline, of course, it is necessary to enforce the law that involves security elements at the micro level, including the village guidance officer. Throughout the implementation of the public activity restriction on a micro scale, the government will pay attention to the needs of the community through micro operation in 98 regions that implement community activity restrictions. Each village will be encouraged to establish a COVID-19 response post, which acts as a companion to the community health center and a team to track the spread of COVID-19. One of the post duties is to supervise and deliver food to local residents who undergo self-isolation for 14 days. The success of implementing the micro-scale restriction community activities will certainly depend on community discipline and compliance. Unless, hopes to reduce the rate of spread of the COVID-19 will be in vain.
Listener, Today in History starts with the event on February 8, 1942, when Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan was burned down. After the Allies were defeated in World War II, Japan entered South Kalimantan on February 6, 1942. On February 8, 1942, three Dutch ships entered the city of Banjarmasin to transport all the Dutch people who had been evacuated to Java. Then the Dutch carried out the scorched earth policy by forming a special destroyer force called the Algemene Vernielingskorps. The aim was that the existing buildings and facilities in Banjarmasin were not used by the Japanese. Banjarmasin became a sea of fire by dynamite explosions. Riots were inevitable at the time. Dutch warehouses, houses, shops, and offices were looted. Next event is that in 1963, a coup by military officers of the Ba'ath Party in Iraq overthrew Abdul Karim Qasim's government. Prime Minister Abdul Karim Qasim was first in power through the 14th July 1958 revolution, on which the Kingdom of Iraq was overthrown in a bloody coup. Abdul Karim Qasim's reign ended during the Ramadan Revolution by Abdul Salam Arif, Abdul Rahman Arif, and the Ba'ath Party on February 8, 1963. Qasim was killed, and Salam Arif became president of Iraq, who later died in a helicopter crash in 1966. The last event is that in 1979, Denis Sassou Nguesso was the longest president of the People's Republic of the Congo. Denis Sassou Nguesso was the longest serving president on the African continent. He was appointed as President of the Republic of Congo for his first term on February 8, 1979 by the military. In 1992, multi-party general election, Denis lost. Then he exiled himself to Paris from 1992 to 1997. He returned to power in 1997 after overthrowing President Pascal Lissouba. Denis Sassou Nguesso returned to power and won presidential elections in 2002 and 2009. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Pagi ku terjebak di dalam ambisi, seperti orang-orang berdasi yang gila materi. Rasa bosan membukakan jalan mencari perang. Keluarlah dari zona nyaman. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah kerja bersama hati. Kita ini insan, bukan seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru, berkarya bersama hati. Ekoku merangkul orang-orang yang mulai sejiwa denganku. Kebeeman membukakan jalan mencari teman. Bergeraklah dari zona nyaman. Seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru, berkarya bersama hati.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian and Malaysian government agreed to continue their cooperation against palm oil black campaign carried out by the European Union. The cooperation was discussed during the visit of Malaysian Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin to Indonesia on Friday. On that occasion, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that resistance to the black campaign would be more optimal if it was carried out jointly by the two countries. As is well known, Indonesia and Malaysia are the main producers of palm oil in the world. President Joko Widodo, during the press conference after giving the Malaysian Prime Minister's official welcome, emphasized that Indonesia will continue to fight against discrimination against palm oil. Meanwhile, Malaysian Prime Minister Muhyiddin welcomed the cooperation. He said Malaysia had filed a lawsuit against the European Union to the World Trade Organization WTO on January 15. The step follows a similar action taken by Indonesia in December 2019. A lawsuit was filed against the Policy of Renewable Energy Directive RED II and the delegated regulation issued by Europe, which was considered to discriminate against palm oil. The Malaysian Prime Minister emphasized that this anti-palm oil campaign is baseless and contradicts the WTO's commitment to free trade practices. He said, "The fight against palm oil discrimination aims to ensure the welfare of farmers whose lives depend on the commodity." According to him, this can protect the palm oil industry, especially saving the millions of small plantations that depend entirely on the palm oil industry in Malaysia and Indonesia. Previously, Indonesia, together with Malaysia and Colombia, who are members of the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, agreed to send a joint mission to oppose the implementation of the RED Second Policy in 2019. Palm oil plays an important role in Indonesia's export. The Indonesian Palm Oil Association noted that the export volume of palm oil products was recorded at 34 million tons in 2020. The number decreased by 9.09% compared to 2019. However, the export value of palm oil products increased by 13.65% from $20.21 billion to $22.97 billion. The Indonesian Palm Oil Association stated that the increase in export value contributed to Indonesia's trade balance performance throughout 2020, which was recorded a surplus of $21.27 billion.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging pan COVID-19 door a masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Gililapak is a small island reaching about 5 hectares wide. This island is surrounded by white sand and turquoise seawater. This beautiful small island is located in the southeast of Madura Island, or about 5 miles from Gili Genting. Administratively, this island is included in the area of Kompang Village, Talongo District, Sumenep Regency, East Java. The beauty of this small island is beyond doubt. Gililapak Island has white sand like the one on Lombok Island. Gililapak Island also provides beautiful underwater. At the same point, the island has extraordinary views. Charming sea corals, beautiful fish swimming around it, add to the beauty of the underwater side of this island. There are many activities you can do on this island, such as snorkeling, diving, and surfing. You can also rent a local boat for 30 minutes. In addition, you may enjoy the beautiful sunrise or sunset. On Gililapak, you can also camp. But if you are unfamiliar with this activity, you can stay at the houses of residents who rent out their houses for visitors. To go to Gililapak Island, you can take a bus from Bungura Asih Terminal, Surabaya to Sumenep with an hourly departure schedule. The trip from Surabaya to Sumenep takes about 4 hours. Then, you rent a boat back and forth from Kalianget to Gililapak. The time needed to cross to Gililapak Island is approximately 2 hours, depending on weather and wind condition, which often interfere with the journey to this island. The facilities available on this island are also still minimal, but there are several facilities such as public bathrooms and a place to rinse or change clothes. A location for camping if you plan to spend the night there. A place to rent diving equipment and also several stalls selling some beverages and foods. The opening hours of Gililapak itself are 24 hours a day. So you can come at any time. But you have to pay attention to the schedule of boats or ships that can take you to Gililapak. If this tourism app checks, you are not charged for an entrance ticket.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Listener, today's topic is Semoga Saya Bisa Bekerja Dengan Baik, which means I hope I can work well. Stay tuned. Listen to the conversation about Semoga Saya Bisa Bekerja Dengan Baik, which means I hope I can work well. This conversation is between Kevin from Australia with his colleague Ayu in their office.
Selamat datang di kantor kami, Pak Kevin. Selamat bekerja.
Terima kasih, Bu Ayu. Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik. Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik, which means I hope I can work well. Semoga, semoga, which means hopefully. Saya, saya, which means I. Bisa bekerja, which means can work. Dengan baik, which means well. Semoga cepat sembuh, which means get well soon. Semoga panjang umur, which means wish you long life. Semoga selamat sampai tujuan, which means have a safe trip. Semoga sukses, which means good luck. In the dialogue, you listen to the statement, Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik. Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik, which means I hope I can work well. In Indonesian language, the expression semoga, semoga, which means hopefully, is used to show hope. Semoga is followed by an expression about the hope. For example, saya bisa bekerja dengan baik. Saya bisa bekerja dengan baik, which means I can work well. Besides semoga, another hope expression in Indonesian is mudah-mudahan. Mudah-mudahan, which also means hopefully. For example, selamat datang di kantor kami. Selamat datang di kantor kami, which means welcome to our office. Terima kasih. Mudah-mudahan saya bisa bekerja dengan baik. Terima kasih. Mudah-mudahan saya bisa bekerja dengan baik, which means thank you. Hopefully I can work well. To a friend who is sick, you can say semoga cepat sembuh. Semoga cepat sembuh, which means get well soon. To a friend who is having a birthday, you can say semoga panjang umur. Semoga panjang umur, which means wish you long life. To a friend who will do a test or face a challenge, you may say semoga sukses. Semoga sukses, which means good luck. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat datang di kantor kami, Pak Kevin. Selamat bekerja.
Terima kasih, Bu Ayu. Semoga saya bisa bekerja dengan baik.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, this is Rahma. I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Pasar Gambir by Sam Saimun. The title of this song is taken from a market name in the city of Jakarta or Betawi. This song was written by Ismail Marzuki with lyrics that resemble a pantun or rhyming poetry, which is also part of the Betawi culture. Like pantun in general, this song invites us to have fun while enjoying the cheerful keroncong song. Well, listener, here is Sam Saimun with Betawi's keroncong song entitled Pasar Gambir. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku terhanyut dalam kata rayumu dan ku tahu kamu mencoba untuk berbicara tentang isyarat cinta. Ku mengerti ini sulit untukmu dan ku tahu aku bahkan takkan pernah bisa untuk katakan cinta. Sadarkah bila aku terjerat pesonamu?
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adalah. See you on the next English program.